live and local.
And a good Saturday morning. It is time for Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com. Steve Sutter, Greg Ray, Tim Miller all in the house as we get rolling into the 4th of July weekend. And sports of some sorts going on, Greg. Not a lot going on locally.
As far as I know, not a lot.
Like nothing.
Nothing.
Zero.
Clubs and coolers. Mm-hmm. Golf tournament at the country club, which is made up of ex-Emporia High students and athletes and coaches and their dads and some friends. They've got 40-some players set to tee off about 10 o'clock. But people like Joe Bob Clemens and Jeb Clemens and Coach Sinelli and John Stone from back in the day. Spencer Hill is back in town for this. And Tyson Osborne, people like that. So they will go at it. I won't tell you about how they celebrate or how they dishonor the worst team. But that is going on. And while I'm mentioning golf, there was a post yesterday or the day before on social media. Kent Weiser's with us, and we were talking about our understanding of social media, but showed the pictures of four youth golf teams playing in the PGA Golf League. It was out south. Marcus Urkel is in charge of all that, and the team from Osage was not represented. They didn't have a match, but there's, I don't know, probably three teams from out south, one from the country club. There were probably 80 kids in the picture. Altogether, they had over 100 kids in the youth golf program. How cool is that, Kent?
Good. That's awesome. Yep. Get young people involved in it. Get kids introduced to the game. And
they're all in uniform, all different colored shirts. And, I mean, each team had their own color shirts. And, I mean, we're talking kids 8 years old. And, of course, a lot of them benefiting from the program out south where golf clubs are available to youth. Because of the generosity of the Bill Martin, Myrna Taunton, and Gary Gurley, and also J.L. Lewis to some degree, to their memorials, put the money in, and kids can get fitted with golf clubs, and then as they grow, they can bring those clubs back and get bigger clubs, and so it's a good program. So youth golf is in great shape. And I just wanted to mention that, and tip of the hat to Marcus. I shared that on Facebook, and some of the people were thanking me, and I don't have anything to do with it other than I'm a supporter of it, and we publicize it and certainly support it. But Marcus is the driving force, and it's a heck of a deal.
Yeah, it's always good to see youngsters involved in something other than being at home and playing video games.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we will get around to talking about the Royals. We have a rare opportunity. Was it here or Monday morning I talked about chunks in the Royals? I wish they'd quit winning and losing in chunks. I mean, they've had losing streaks of 11, 6, 5, and just broke a 9.
Nine, yeah.
So pretty hard. And I think their longest winning streak was 6 games. So they need to have the W chunks bigger. And there's some reason for why where they are. And we'll talk about that, but let's turn our attention and say good morning to Kent Weiser, Director of Athletics at Emporia State.
Good morning. Dave, thanks for having me here.
You doing good?
Doing well, you bet.
Well, you got lots of stuff to talk about, and people may not know it. I mean, this is usually it would be somewhat of a slow time, but this name, image, and likeness deal and the Supreme Court and the NCAA, you want to take a crack at telling us what happened?
Well, everything kind of came to a head very, very quickly, it seemed like. People had been talking about, the NCAA's authority to govern nationally, govern collegiate athletics. NCAA is a voluntary organization, so you pay dues and then you promise to follow the rules. Over the years, those rules have been the limitations that the NCAA, that the membership has said, is that, you're going to limit financial awards to educational expenses, tuition fees, room board, cost of attendance at going to college. And that's been the model that we've worked with. But that has been challenged and is starting to deteriorate. As you see, the antitrust and the anti-monopoly laws, lawsuits have been brought against the NCAA and against this model. And so the courts have been ruling favorably to the plaintiffs and basically said you cannot restrict a lot of the things that you're trying to restrict. And one of those was the name, image, likeness, having a student athlete be able to monetize or profit from the use of their name, image, and likeness in a business model, a business standpoint. Universities are still prohibited from being really involved in that from a paying standpoint. You're not. We're the pay for play is something that they want to get away from or want to stay away from. So they've allowed young people to student athletes to if they have the skill and the and what I want to say the influence, I guess, to that are they're recognizable, and that would help a business entity increase what that business wants to do, if it's either increase traffic or increase brand awareness or whatever, that now they can work, those businesses can work directly with the student athletes and pay them money for that.
And it does have to be a quid pro quo. It has to be something given.
That's it needs to be, yes, where it's just not, we're going to give you a ton of money to not do anything, or under the guise of saying, well, you're our representative.
But an endorsement is pretty hard to put a value
on. It's going to be very difficult. It's, if not impossible, to see. And that will, that'll be determined by the business and the corporate entities on how much they are able to,
Our friend Ed Hammond, who's the former president of Fort Hays, an Emporia State graduate, and he posted on Facebook a post, and he suggested this is the end of amateur athletics as we know it. Is that a little too dramatic?
I hope so. I hope it is, because I think amateur athletics and especially collegiate athletics tied with education, I think that that model has created sports fans that maybe would not be sports fans, that they follow their school, or they take a sense of school pride, and alumni, will look back when their teams are doing well, even though they graduated 30 years ago from that school, they're going to feel good, and they're going to, want to support that school. They're proud of their association with it. So I hope it doesn't take everything down. I don't know. I think eventually opportunities might be lost if that would happen, but it's certainly going to take on a new look. I just don't know what that look will be.
How much do you blame the NCAA? And you made a good point early. The NCAA is a voluntary organization. Schools belong to it in order to have some rules and regulations. And so everything, all the rules that are operating on have been agreed to, like by Emporia State and the people in our conference. Mm-hmm. But they're really being thrown under the bus and saying they haven't done their job. You agree?
No, I'm not ready to say that. Everybody, we all said we saw this coming, or it was easy to see this coming, and hindsight's always 20/20. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. And I think the NCAA, though, their monumental task is they've got 1,200 schools that are nationally that are part of the organization, 400 of which are Division I, and maybe 150 of those are the big Division I's, the Power Fives, and you're trying to create rules for that group of student athletes, and then you're also trying to umbrella it with Division III student athletes who get no financial aid, for no athletic scholarships. But they still want to have this level playing field. And in Division II, Emporia State's right in the middle of that. We're in, I like to think, the sweet spot that, you know, we do offer athletic scholarships, but our reach is more regional on an ongoing basis. We certainly have alums from across the country and across the world. And so when our teams do well, it's fun to get. We'll get something from somebody in Europe or somebody that's in the armed forces that's halfway across the world and show their ESU flag and that's what's cool about it. That's what you don't want to lose. So, I don't know. Getting back to your question, has the NCAA done its due diligence? I don't know.
There's been whispers for, quite a bit of time that there will be a point possibly where you mentioned the Power Five schools branching off and just kind of basically coming up with their own organization. Wouldn't that really help Division II, Division III to get out from underneath all these bigger schools to where then there's an equal playing field amongst all those schools? But, I mean, these 64 teams or however many there are really, I mean, they're the ones that are leading this thing. You know, those are the ones that they're really looking at. And everybody else just has to follow because that's, as you say, you're under that umbrella.
Mm-hmm. You know, Tim, that's a great question. What is the value? I think there is a value of being a member of the NCAA. It at least historically has given a little validation to schools like Emporia State and those in the MIAA that, we are a member of the NCAA and there's good and bad that comes with that. That elevates us in some ways. But yes, your question on whether there would be a breakaway or a Division IV, as we used to say it years ago, that's what's, could be happening. That possibility is strong. And, boy, the outcome of that on how it would affect everyone's it's a real question.
Well, as I'm sitting here listening to all this, one thing we need to remember, as you've mentioned already, the NCAA is not some corporation that sits in Indianapolis and they've invited universities to come together. It's universities that came together to develop a relationship to provide a balanced and level playing field for student athletes. The rules, some of them we may not agree with, but those are rules that came about to develop a level playing field for whatever sport it may be. Whether we agree with the rule or not, what those rules came about because somebody try to gain an advantage somewhere, somehow. And there are probably going to be – and the thing that's nice about this, name, image, likeness, is that there are rules out there that says, no, you cannot say, hey, you come to our university, we'll make sure that your image gets you, so much money along with your scholarship. That is something the student athlete's going to have to do pretty much on themselves.
Correct.
Is my understanding.
But now they can't do it at all. They can't make anything
up until June 30th.
Well, they can because of the rule change. But previously,
no, they couldn't.
They couldn't endorse KVOE or Jay's carryout or Bruff's or coaches or something like that.
Right.
And that's what makes this new ruling so I think positive is that it allows the student athlete to be like a regular student.
Mm-hmm.
So often we don't want the student athlete to be treated better than the average student. We don't want them to have more advantages than what the normal student would have. But you're also taking before they were taking away opportunities that the average student and the university had a chance to do. Now they have that opportunity. How much will that affect everything? I think that's yet to be determined.
Yes.
And it's the marketplace that will end up determining, how much student athletes make. I did a little dreaming. Okay, these student athletes are now available to use professional services. Okay, let's say I want to become one of those professional services. At the Division II level, let's say I have five student athletes that I can, you know, line up, but they're only going to get paid $500. If I have a 5%, you know, commission fee, I'm not going to make a lot of money.
Right.
So, you know, you have to almost get into those neighborhoods where somebody's willing to pay $1 million or whatever for whatever endorsement fees. But the plus is it allows student athletes to be regular student athletes where they can market themselves however they feel necessary, and they can make whatever they can make doing that. But there are still restrictions that go along with it.
Again, it gets back to it. I mean, these main schools at Division I, they're talking about some of these athletes potentially could make $500,000 potentially.
You don't think they already are?
Well, I mean, I mean,
you've seen the cartoons. With briefcases full of money.
Well, sure. I just think it's just even going to open it up even more, because now it's perfectly legal for them to go make whatever they can make through these corporations.
But it has to be quid pro quo, which means.
Well, I think true. But I think we all know. I mean, there's going to be some instances where I think there's going to be some questions as to. Are they earning this money truly? Or
so who legislates that?
That's a great question.
Yeah, that's a great question.
I think that's maybe one of the points.
I mean, can the MIAA do that?
Let me get to that in just a second. Right now, the rule is that the institution is responsible for those things, to make sure it's not a pay-for-play, that it is quid pro quo. And the restrictions on certain companies or certain products, so that falls on the institution. And in the state of Kansas, where we do not have a current law, then basically those are the rules that we're gonna follow. And how we do that is the question. It's a bad time of year in some ways, because a lot of university personnel are enjoying the 4th of July weekend, and they're out of town, and I think our university legal counsel will need to be involved in it. Certainly our president, our university business office.
But you think this is going to be individual institution making the rules versus NCAA or MIAA?
The question on the MIAA is, if we would set a rule, if we would set a cap or some kind of would we be a market influencer? And this is where it gets a little I'm learning as I'm going here. The NCAA has been determined to be a market influencer, because it is basically the only game in town with college athletics and all at all levels, other than the NAIA. So you with a group of 12 or 14 MIAA schools, if we were to say, okay, here's how we're going to do this, we're going to limit this, I think we are all going to try and be close on this. But whether the MIAA can set a rule and say, hey, you have to do this, you have to do it this way, that's all kind of come into question.
Well, I mean, parity should be the goal for the conference, that everybody's kind of doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we're a long ways from having parity in the MIAA. I mean, we have one of the smaller, but how much bigger? Who's Central Missouri? Do they have the biggest budget in the MIAA?
Probably, yes.
And in fractions, are they two times bigger than Emporia State? Two and a half
at
times?
At least, yeah. Two and a half.
But they do have a couple more sports, I think.
Bowling, I think, is the only.
They don't wrestle anymore?
Yes, they do.
Do they? Okay.
And golf?
And golf, but they don't have tennis. So we have tennis. So it's a. We've got 15.
But they're spending at least twice as much on their athletes as we are on ours, with relatively the same number of kids.
Yes.
So we don't have parity now.
Correct. It's by. And you look at that as. If you look at it as a department, it is more. In football and basketball. You try to play to the competition. You try to do what to give our teams a chance. It's when you get into other sports like you know, baseball and track and field, where they're able to put a lot more into those sports and get them closer to the NCAA limits, which I guess are still there, the team limits. I don't know with all of this, but you know, that's where a lot of those get ahead of us real quick. A lot of the other schools that can invest more in
and it's
other sports.
A lot of it is dictated by those budgets. Are they affected more by donations than anything, or states level of state support? How much does anything come from the NCAA in your annual budget? Is there trickle down only operating just for tournaments and stuff?
It's it's yes, we get an annual share of the basketball tournament, of the Division I basketball tournament, but I think it's about $6,000 per school. That every Division II school gets about a $6,000 payout.
Get yourself a hot dog, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
You mean you guys don't get those $25, $30 million checks at these big time schools?
No, it used to be, you know, and back, boy, and I even hate to say this, but because I'm not sure if it's still the same, but when I was at Kansas and I was at Oregon State, you know, they'd have models of how far you went in the tournament and how far you went in, and you would receive a portion based on how many rounds you went deep into the tournament, how many times you were on television, and those kind of things. And I am not sure how that is done now, because I've been out of Division I for a long time, but that's.
We need to go to break, but let's take – we have a phone caller on the Sutherland studio line wanting to talk with Kent Weiser, so let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on Saturday Morning Sports Talk.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, this is Mike Mercer. I guess I'm having a hard time following this new rule. Does this apply to incoming freshmen? You know, could it be used as a recruiting tool, or do we know that yet?
Yeah, Greg. New rule does include incoming freshmen, and no, you can't use it as a recruiting tool. You can't say that we'll promise you you'll be able to earn some X number of dollars using your name, image, and likeness. They can't do that. That's pay for play, and that's what the NCAA wants to stay away from. And basically, it comes down to whatever the student athlete themselves can. Now they can use a professional service to help, you know,
facilitate
all this. But it's the university won't market you for individual endorsements or whatever. They won't market you as, okay, we've got, let's take Jace McDown. He's going to do a football camp. Emporia State won't go out and say, hey, come over and be a part of Jace McDown's football camp, the Emporia State great. But he can do his own football camp and to gain money from it, but he can't use that as an Emporia State.
Let me insert this. I saw this on Facebook last night, which is pretty interesting. It's the first made public agreement under this rule. Hersey Miller, son of rapper Master P, I have no idea who Master P is, has signed the most lucrative sponsorship deal in the early portion of name, image, and likeness era in college athletics. He's a 6'3", 160-pound point guard out of Minnehaha Academy in Minneapolis. He'll make $2 million on a deal with Web Apps America, according to his father. Miller is committed to Tennessee State University, where he'll play in the fall.
Wow.
So this is happening.
It is happening.
Well, I was just having a hard time understanding the difference between what they're doing and the pay-for-play rule.
Right, but now,
you
guys Mike,
pretty well explained that, so.
Yeah, and one thing I would make sure, this is, you mentioned incoming student-athletes, that's those that have it exhausted their high school because you'd need to check with the Kansas. In our case, you know, if you're from the state of Kansas, you need to check with the Kansas State High School Activities Association for their amateur rules, because it was very specific here that you got to check with your state. It's once you are done with your high school eligibility, then this will not affect your collegiate eligibility.
Right.
Given these parameters.
Let me go to Greg's answer, saying that you can't promise them, and obviously you can't promise them, but I'll bet you can promise them that your opportunity would be better at Edmond, Oklahoma, than in Emporia, Kansas. And that will be a recruiting. You think they could do that, Kent?
I mean, they could say that. Yeah, they could. Yeah. You know, and just like they, you know, that's kind of the recruiting wars that you always find your school's strong points, and you lead with those, and certainly those that are close to metro areas. You know, I think what you would see is historically that it'll be easier to say, hey, over the last 2 years or 3 years, our student athletes here have done this. And
best accounting department in the country or in the state.
Yeah.
And more people from Emporia State pass the CPA. Or,
you try and do. Yeah.
I'm sure we're doing that.
You bet. And so this will add a piece to that. It'll add a that some people will be able to, you know, if their student athletes have success with this, that they won't be able to promise anything, but certainly they'd say, you know, look historically, what is you know, what student athletes coming here have been able to do. So.
I guess I'm, of course, it's the cynic in me, I guess. But if I'm a big time football coach or whatever the case may be, what prevents me from going to my good buddy who runs a massive business and say, "Hey, I have this recruit coming in this weekend. I'd really like for you to visit with him for a few moments."
That could certainly.
I mean, I just think it's. I mean, I think it opens up so.
But that's
many,
already happening, Tim.
But I'm saying in this case, you're still going to have a bidding war potentially. Who can generate the most?
And a whale, and that's defined as someone that can puts lots of money in a program, and they're around. They're still able to influence things. They just have to do it under some rules, and it's got to be scholarships and things
Correct.
Like that. Where under this rule...
Now it can be endorsements.
Yeah. Gene Bicknell from Pittsburgh, who owns 100 Pizza Huts,
mm-hmm.
can have some quarterback at Pittsburgh State say, "I like Pizza Hut," give him $1,000 for doing it.
Yeah.
Where now if he wants to give him $1,000, it's got to be part of his scholarship. And fortunately, there is some limit on how much scholarship money there can
there, be. Yeah. And that those remain, you know, they've gone, they inched it. Division One inch closer to or above the tuition fees, room board, and books, and they call cost of attendance, which Division One schools can, and basically it's about $3,000 to $4,000 more than what you know those hard costs are, and the thought behind that was, you know, okay, there's laundry money and traveling home money, and so Division One's kind of been there. We're still at the full ride. One is one, you know, and it does not include that extra.
It comes down to some more money, though.
Yeah.
Well, we could use a lot more money. You bet. We could sure use a lot more that would help us get those limits that we've set.
Thanks for your answers, guys, and we just have to have. Continue our faith in Emporia State and the great people like Kent Weiser that get us through this.
We'll put it on Kent. Thanks for the question, Mike. Good
Thank
question.
Thank you, Mike.
Have a great week.
All right. We need to go to that break. Scott's about to have a heart attack in there. So this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongvineAuto.com.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, quality products and great customer service are what we value most. We work to provide our friends and customers our very best. We know how important a clean and safe environment is for you to shop in. We want you to feel comfortable about your safety while you look for the newest from Chevy and Buick. Chevy is the only brand to earn J.D. Power Dependability Awards for cars, trucks, and SUVs for 5 years in a row. And Buick has the most complete lineup of luxury SUVs. Need maintenance or repairs on your current vehicle? Let one of our award-winning service professionals or our Total Collision Center get you back on the road. If customer service and quality products are what you value most, come to Long Vine Auto Plaza. It's our total commitment to you that has made the difference for over 50 years. So come in today or visit us at longvineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 14 KVOE.
All right, welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk. Steve, Greg, and Tim, and Kent Weiser, and spirited discussion here. Kent, does this keep you awake at night?
Well, it's given me a lot more to think about, that's for sure, on the future of collegiate athletics and Emporia State, certainly, and how we can navigate through this and remain competitive. And
you just hired a new compliance person, right?
Yeah.
Is that part of Aaron's job?
Yes, it will be. Aaron Michaelby will have this. Right now, Ping Wang is our compliance coordinator, and so this will eventually fall under Aaron's view . But again, until we get systematically, we've got to get ourselves into what forms do we use? How do we monitor? When we don't have an investigative department. If we want to look at, if it's like, well, hey, I've heard that somebody is, getting something and they didn't report it. How do you do that? I mean, right now, when we have when we have had accusations of violations and. The committee is, or the, in fact, is usually me and the coach and associate AD, and we'll try and find out what the facts are on
what
that.
What would a violation look like that maybe somebody's being slipped some? I mean,
they're not necessarily monetarily. They're more like, hey, you went off-site recruiting, or you had recruiting during a dead period. Did a kid show up when they weren't supposed to?
More recruiting violations.
Yes, that is
not. I mean, I know I got admonished one time by Carmen because I mentioned that I'd had dinner or something with an athlete or something, or hired. I can legally hire a football player to shovel snow, I hope.
Yes. Yeah. To do proper work at market value.
I don't overpay him.
Right. Right.
You don't have to worry about that.
And I don't know that we have been fortunate that we have not had a lot of those instances, and I credit our coaches and fellow administrators to we know what the rules are, and we're not, I couldn't sleep at night if I'd know we were intentionally breaking them. So we've got to, but mistakes are made.
Let's go back to that old deal. The old coach says, or the athletic director says to the coach, I don't want you to get us on probation, but it'd be okay to get us investigated.
I've never heard that, but you don't want to do nothing. I mean, you want to, I want our coaches and we've got to be aggressive and try and make this a good experience and try to get, the right student athletes here and so you want to do that, and we're not, the ref, we can keep score. I mean, but we're not solely bound to win. I mean, that is certainly our goal, but there's a lot of other things to keep in balance, and so when we win, we're not going to have a cloud over our heads that says, well, yeah, you did this, but this, academic eligibility is another one that will come up sometimes. It's like, well, that kid didn't go to class or didn't make any grades, but yet all of a sudden they transfer and they're eligible at the new place. Well, how does that work? And so there are things that happen. Unfortunately, that competitive drive in people clouds their decision making sometimes. And Tim, like you said, it's you would hope that. You would try and get everybody to stay within with a sense of fair play, but I also know at Division I the stakes are so high, they are so much higher than they were 25 years ago. It seems like that who would have thought a football coach would make $8 million a year, of these guys. I mean, that's where a lot of the pressure on, you know, a Division One comes from, is that, you know, the dollar amount.
Well, and I don't think there's any doubt that that's certainly what's driving a lot of this, is these kids in these schools. I mean, coaches are making $7, $8, $9 million mm-hmm. a year. Schools are making major dollars off the NCAA tournament and bowl games and whatnot, and they're the ones that are – they're the product, yet they're not reaping any of the rewards for any of this stuff.
Well, unless you think $80,000 worth of scholarship to go to school is a reward. I mean,
right.
it's kind of a
because that, well, and that's the side I come from, and I mean, I think I'm in the minority. But again, Division I, Division II, they're so different.
Yeah.
You know, at Division I, these guys who are playing what we call the revenue sports.
Mm-hmm.
My God, I mean, they're not going to have it better than probably they do now in terms of schools being paid for, room and boards being paid for. They can go to the training table and eat whenever they want to. They have Adidas and Nike giving them every bit of apparel they could possibly ever wear. It's a pretty good life, yeah, quite frankly. They're traveling to pretty decent places a lot of the time. I mean,
And then if you happen to be a figure skater or a gymnast, or actually track athletes, they all make tons of money.
They're starting to make, I've noticed.
They make tons of money. So.
But I can see an argument on both sides. Scholarships, there's a great value there that they're getting, and some opportunities that maybe some other kids aren't. But by the same token, when you're seeing all this money coming in from all these tournaments and bowl games and what coaches make, I guess
money's being squandered. If you think paying $8 million for a football coach is a little excessive.
Well, particularly when you think about the educational side of it and the budgets that are strained, and how, you know, we're maybe sacrificing some academics, but the football coach is making $8-9 million a year. There's something that's not balanced.
Well, the other part of it is when you start looking at those, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm going out on a limb that those universities that can afford to pay those football coaches, those athletic coaches, that type of money, that money doesn't come from the university itself. It comes from athletic donors. They probably have their own, like KU has the Williams Fund that's separate from the university.
Right.
It's under the university umbrella, but it is money that is generated specifically to be used for athletic purposes.
Outside income,
and
exactly.
It's not money. And granted, some of that money does go back to the university because of scholarships and some other stuff. But
it's a good point.
Yep.
It's money that's all not under the same umbrella. The University of Kansas doesn't give the athletic department $10 million to operate. It's the athletic department that generates that revenue by fundraising. And it's the alumni and those entities that find a benefit of being associated with the University of Kansas that will make those big donations.
And now those people that are making the big donations can get something in return for it.
Well, they can get it in a different way. They can get it in a different way, Steve. That's the, there's going to be a difference between sponsoring an athletics department or sponsoring a person. And so that's the, whether that proves beneficial to companies, I think it's going to, there's so many variables on it.
We need to go to break. We should have Bob Dylan. Times are a changing.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a new world. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Kent, thanks for joining us.
You bet.
Stay with us. We're going to take a break, come back, talk about the Royals and the NBA and whatever else comes up. We got a few minutes left. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. You're listening to KVOE. We're live and local.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, quality products and great customer service are what we value most. We work to provide our friends and customers our very best. We know how important a clean and safe environment is for you to shop in. We want you to feel comfortable about your safety while you look for the newest from Chevy and Buick. Chevy is the only brand to earn J.D. Power Dependability Awards for cars, trucks, and SUVs for 5 years in a row. And Buick has the most complete lineup of luxury SUVs. Need maintenance or repairs on your current vehicle? Let one of our award-winning service professionals or our Total Collision Center get you back on the road. If customer service and quality products are what you value most, come to Longvine Auto Plaza. It's our total commitment to you that has made the difference for over 50 years. So come in today or visit us at longvineauto.com. Chevy,
find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 14 KVOE.
All right, welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk. Steve, started to say Aaron. Aaron isn't here, is he?
No, I don't think so. Haven't
Greg
seen him.
And Tim and Kent Weiser is with us, and we've been talking about the new world of college athletics and name, image, and likeness, and we've concluded lots of stuff. No, we haven't.
I think we've just discussed things.
Yeah, you know, there's still a lot to be determined. In the end run, it'll be the marketplace that will determine who ends up being profitable and making a lot of money off this. It might end up that some third string track athlete is the one who makes all the money off of it because he has a social following on social media and he's able to generate that revenue. And it may not be some top-line athlete who everybody wants to be their spokesperson.
I wonder if Jeremy Rusko broke the rules back when he was a football player at Emporia State. I think a track man, too. And he bought 100 disc golf discs and sold them out of his trunk.
Well, hey. When I was there at the time, I can tell you no, that was not a violation. I'm going to guarantee you that, Jeremy. Don't worry about that, man.
You know, last night I'm watching the Royals. Love the Royals. It's been a struggle. And we have runners on, I don't know, first and third or something. And they hit one back to the pitcher, 108 miles an hour, and hits him in the hand. And Brady Singer scrambles, grabs the ball, no chance at all to get the runner at home, throws the ball, goes to the backstop, another run scores. And I scream at the TV, get a tent! This is a circus, which is kind of my favorite thing to say.
That is a good one. Yeah.
When my team or the other team is not, and my wife. Well, anyway, the Royals turn it around, come back, tie the game, and end up winning the game. And I've said something nice about him, and my wife said, what happened to the tent?
It has been a rough.
They can be a frustrating bunch to watch.
Well, no doubt. You know, anybody, though, if you take three or four of your best five or six players and take them off the field.
Sure.
And they've been, they're now 4-13 with Benintendi out. I hate to think what it is with Mondesi out. Duffy is this may be his first legitimate start today.
He had one earlier.
Well, he's had two other starts, but he went two innings.
Two innings, yeah.
I mean, he was limited in what he could do, so he's probably can throw 100 pitches today if need be. I want to believe that part of Dozier's problem, number one, was he had COVID, and maybe there's some resistant something left from that, but also the collision he had with Abreu.
Right.
Because he's not himself. And the only ones that have really been consistent have been Salvi and Whit Merrifield.
Yeah.
And so –
kind of hard to win a lot of games when you got two guys playing well and everybody else is hit and miss.
So
– yeah.
It's a rough go. They're not in last place
anymore. I was
going to
say, they did climb out of last place last night with the win, so there's a positive for you. They're in fourth now in the Central.
Yeah. So. I wanted to go today. I got vetoed on that, but still go watch them. They're still fun.
Well, they're still our team. I mean, you support them thick and thin.
Yeah, what, 31,000 fans at the K last night? At
finally.
Yeah. You know, packed house just out.
But it's it's frustrating and – for those that are wondering, Benintendi's expected to be back after the All-Star break. Mondesi won't be back until sometime in August. So those two.
I hadn't heard that about Mondesi. Boy, the oblique injuries must be something.
Yeah, it must be, obviously.
Another, an ex-Royal, still a Royal in Omaha, but Bubba Starling named to the Olympic roster.
Yeah.
How about that?
Hey, good for him. I mean, you know, obviously you just continue to root for that guy to have something good happen. And
well, the dude that played left field last night, the first time he came to bat, I can't think of how to say his name. But
Oliveras.
Yes. The first time up, he takes two strikes right down the middle and then has check swing on the third strike first and strikes out. I think Bubba can do that.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So
I think so, too.
Let's start a Get Bubba Back.
Let the campaign begin.
So, you know, I never thought it would happen, but last night I was kind of bummed because it wasn't an NBA game.
Well, you have one tonight.
Today or tonight?
It's tonight. Yeah, yeah.
So, but there's been one every day back and forth. Yeah,
Milwaukee, Atlanta, game six.
It's really a strange. What was in place of that on ESPN last night was a story of the Pittsburgh of the Detroit Pistons, the Bill Laimbeer,
yeah.
Isaiah
the
Thomas,
Bad Boys,
and, yeah, Dennis Rodman. If you get a chance to watch that, it is worth the watch. They're very candid.
See, for me, that was the hate. That's when I actually followed the NBA. It was during that era with Detroit and Boston and the LA Lakers,
there was only
the
like
Bulls.
10 or 12 teams in the NBA, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Not 30.
Yeah. But I actually followed it then, not so much now.
Kent, do you follow? You follow sports in general?
Yeah, I do. I can't say I watch a lot on TV. You know, I listen to games on the radio and certainly catch Sports Center and watch highlights and things like that. But yeah, and like the NBA, when it comes to playoff time is when everyone I think perks up.
Those 2 months of playoffs.
Yeah, but yeah, during the regular season. Yeah.
Is that even enough? It's more than 2 months.
Golly.
But unbelievable.
Most of the time I have, you know, our sports going on. So it's like, you know, going to when my kids were in college, or one was at KU and one is currently at K-State and in graduate school. And they're like, well, you know, come up for a football game. And it's like, well, yeah, when do they play? Because they usually play on Saturdays and that's when we play. So it's kind of hard to work those in. But yeah, I think you always, you know, or a sports fan, you're always interested in what's going on at different levels. So,
and Tim, KU, Jalen Wilson. Well, I was listening to Greg this morning, listing off the honors that he got in the postseason last year. What do you have? 18 double doubles or
I mean, I think he got a little bit of flack for how he maybe finished the season. He didn't have a great run. Of course, at the end, can't play because of COVID, but. He really had a great redshirt freshman season, and good to have him back. I think they'll probably soon have an announcement that Remy Martin, the transfer from Arizona State, will probably pull out of the draft and go to Kansas. And then it comes down to what Agbaji does as to whether he'll stay in the draft or not.
And he's really on the bubble.
He's on the it's going to be a tough call for him because he's right there on the fence.
Great measurements.
Yeah.
I mean, he did all the testing well, but then the first two scrimmages, he kind of was a no-show. So
yeah.
If he comes back, I kind of feel sorry for Bill Self. How do you play 16 players?
Well, he's going to have his work cut out for him. But boy, you know what a great position to be in. So I think I have a really good team. I think.
And I saw where he got a 2022 commitment from a star player out of Texas.
Yeah, Texas, a big guy. So.
But that shoe still hasn't dropped.
No, it has not.
But it did drop on a couple of schools in the last week through the book at a couple of them. So KU's got
I think that's some of the frustrations that some people have with the NCAA is just the time frame it takes on some of these things, the consistencies of penalties and those types of issues. I think
there's a lot of black and white stuff.
So
I think there's a lot of intrigue.
Yeah.
So, well, whatever. Okay. Well, Kent, thanks for joining us.
You bet.
It's always good to have you here.
I enjoyed it. I enjoy it very much. I appreciate being here.
Okay. Wish everybody a great 4th of July weekend. Be careful. And
stay hydrated.
Fireworks everywhere tonight, tomorrow night. And take care of your dogs and cats.
That's right. Yep.
So, all right. For Greg and Tim, I'm Steve. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongBondAuto.com.